Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, July 20th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Sky. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. On this episode, we'll be discussing Prime Day. I'm chatting today with principal analyst covering retail and e-commerce, Andrew Lipsman. Welcome, Andrew.
Hey, Sarah.
We are going to kick off the show with our first segment, News and Reviews, where I give the news and our guest tells me his reviews. Today's headline is a July 13th piece from CNBC titled, Peloton competitor Tonal cuts 35% of workforce as it prepares for possible recession and IPO. The Serena Williams-backed company laid off about 750 employees last week, and the CEO stressed the need to be profitable. Peloton, it should be mentioned, also cut part of its workforce recently, so Tonal's not the only company doing this. Andrew, I know you've been bullish about Peloton and Connected Fitness in the past. Your review of this headline in 60 seconds is?
Yeah, I'm pretty bullish, optimistic about this space long term. Right now, it's running into a brick wall, I think, given overall consumer trends and the fact that they all saw such a huge growth over the last 2 years. We're also seeing layoffs across the board as the consumer economy tightens. So none of this is a particular surprise. It's interesting, though, that Tonal is trying with pretty significant cuts to get itself in fighting shape. It says for IPO. I feel like to some extent they may have to say that. I think the more likely scenario is an acquisition. And it's important to get the financials in shape for that as well. And the most likely potential for this acquisition is Amazon. Amazon has actually put money into the company, I think, in two funding rounds. It's certainly one. And I think that Amazon has wanted to keep these connected fitness companies close as it dabbles in the space. I think it's about to get more serious in connected fitness, and this would make sense as the next big consumer electronics sort of acquisition for them. So that's what I'll be looking for here in the future, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, my understanding is Tonal's wall-mounted fitness device is pretty expensive, so I would definitely be interested in how they're maintaining getting new customers in this era where people are headed back to gyms.
Yeah, and that all that demand has really pulled forward. So it remains to be seen what that kind of next step of consumer demand is and how you get there. Peloton is finding that it has to cut prices to open up that market.
For sure. All right, well, now it's time for our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today, we're talking about Prime Day. We promised that last week, and we're delivering. Prime Day was last week. It was July 12th and 13th. Did you buy anything, Andrew?
I did buy something on Prime Day. I went to Amazon to try and buy it. Speaking of connected fitness, actually, I finally decided that I was going to get some sort of a device. I've been looking at a few devices, and I ended up deciding that I was going to get an Apple Watch. Went to Amazon, and the one that I wanted to buy, they only had in red, green, and blue. But I wanted it in black because I'm boring, and I ended up going to Target to buy it because they had it at the same price, but the right color.
So Andrew bought something from Target on Prime Day. Cool. So Prime Day literally just happened. There's not a ton of data out yet. Digital Commerce 360 estimated around $12 billion in sales worldwide. Your Prime Day report, Andrew, from early June forecasted about $12.5 billion in sales. For context, last year, Amazon saw $10.7 billion in Prime Day sales. And in 2020, it saw about $9.9 billion as compared to the $12.5 we forecasted this year. Can we say yet then if Prime Day is a success this year?
I think it all depends on how you look at it. So first off, I'm still waiting for more data to come in. I think the best data sources right now, which may be understating things slightly for Amazon specifically, but they're coming in at high single-digit growth rates. We had been forecasting about 16 or 17% growth for Prime Day. So short of that, but you know, to some extent, Amazon in the last couple of quarters has basically been running at zero growth or even slightly negative in their commerce business. So if you use that as a benchmark, we are seeing an upturn in momentum for Prime Day here. So I'd say modest success, certainly better than where it has been recently, though maybe not quite as strong as we had initially been anticipating.
Sure. Yeah. And we came up with those numbers a few months ago, so it does make sense that the market would have changed a bit.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the background here is that the consumer economy has further tightened due to inflation. And so I think that probably weighed a bit on our forecast. But, you know, Amazon did come out and publicly say that it was its biggest Prime Day event ever. So, you know, I think that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, it's always its biggest Prime Day event ever. So
this should be. If it's not, then there's some problems.
Yeah, we were discussing this before, right? Like the eternal question of, is Prime Day still relevant? And I think so long as it's the biggest Prime Day ever, it's relevant, right?
It's one of the biggest days of the year. It continues to grow. I mean, I think where this question starts to come in is Prime Day, I would say, had this era from like 2017 to 2019, where it just started to explode. It was growing 60% year over year, every year. And so it got really big, really fast. And then we ran into the pandemic and things changed quite a bit in the midst of that. So now we're kind of in the normalization phase. I think if it keeps posting all-time highs, that's a good sign. You want to see some momentum behind it. Consumers are still responding to it. And I would say just given that Prime Day is placed in July, you know, it's really like creating this new incremental demand for shopping that kind of didn't exist before. Some of it's probably demand pull forward, but a lot of it is new spending. So in that sense, I think it's very good for Amazon and good for the industry as a whole.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about that placement, right? It was in June last year, October the year before. Both of those sort of had their own reasons, which we can get into. But you predicted back in June that Amazon will probably have a second Prime Day event. Now we're hearing rumblings of that probably being true. What does Amazon have to gain from having this holiday twice?
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, there's a few things. First off, Amazon needs it right now because the commerce business has been slowing. So anytime you have a Prime Day, it's going to give you a little extra juice on that top line. So now they're going to have that in Q3 and it looks like in Q4. Amazon has the experience under its belt now to pull it off during these different tentpole time periods, right? They did it, well, they've done it in the summer historically, but they also did it in 2020 in October and it was really successful. So they learned, and now they've had time to prepare for this possibility. And then I think the key piece of this and why it made a lot of sense was Amazon had overexpanded its logistics capacity. So they're in a much better position to be able to execute on two Prime Day tent poles in, you know, not rapid succession, but just probably a few months apart here. They can pull it off in a way that they probably couldn't a year or two ago. So it makes sense. It's going to help them out. And then, you know, maybe the untold story of why Prime Day is so important to Amazon, it drives advertising. I think it drives advertising adoption long term, but it also provides a real boost to the quarter in ad spend. And that's what's driving Amazon's profits. So it's going to help top line and bottom line in Q3 and Q4 when they need it.
That's an interesting call out, Prime Day being about ad sales just as much, maybe even more, as it is about product sales.
Yeah, I mean, it's really been a big long-term driver because this is when sellers who maybe are just dabbling in advertising have to kind of focus on it if they want to play. And so each year, I think it's like a step change in terms of adoption and acclimation to buying and being effective with ads on Amazon.
Does having two Prime Days spread that demand out to make like both Prime Days smaller, or is that not the case because the second one hasn't been announced yet?
I think that's probably Amazon's bet. If you don't know about the second one yet, then it doesn't change the behavior of the sellers on that first cycle. And then very quickly they have to make decisions about a second Prime Day tent pole, in which case that spend is likely to pull from competition, right? Spend on other competitor sites rather than from Amazon.
Sure. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Fortunately, our readers sort of have the little heads up that maybe a second Prime Day was coming, and our podcast listeners, since you predicted it before.
Yeah, I want to switch. I just really quickly, I also say the word that's leaking out is that there are rumblings of what's called Amazon Prime Fall Deal Event. So it seems like they may be positioning it slightly differently than Prime Day, or not calling it Prime Day, but it kind of sounds like Prime Day if it's kind of the seasonal event. It may actually be a precursor if you think about this, to seasonal events for all the seasons. What if all of a sudden, you know, a year or two now, we're looking at 4 Prime Day events every year?
4 Prime Day events, not Prime Days, is the key
spring
word
event,
there.
Spring event, summer event, fall event, winter event. It's all possible.
Yeah, that's a great call out. I want to shift gears slightly. You mentioned that you bought an Apple Watch this Prime Day, although not from Amazon. I know consumer electronics are huge during Prime Day. What other categories were important to watch?
Yeah, I mean, the two biggest categories for Amazon, so they're always going to be front and center, are consumer electronics. Obviously, Amazon is pushing a lot of its own consumer electronics. You know, it was the Echoes for a long time, still is. The Fire TV devices. So I think Fire TV Stick was the most popular device. And then they just had launched their own smart TVs late last year, and they still want to push those into the market. So Fire TV Omni series was also heavily discounted. And then, you know, smart home electronics, whether it's home security, they've got all sorts of different products there. So I think that's what drives that category, in addition to some of these home appliances and Roombas and things that we always hear about. Apparel, there's just a ton of it. And everybody who's selling through Amazon, I think, gets into the act in some form or fashion. This year, the more interesting category were household essentials. Those seem to be particularly popular. Amazon is pushing more grocery and CPG type of items, and specifically tying it into in-store. So Amazon Fresh, you know, there's a 30 some locations now. I don't know, about a third of those, or at least probably, are near me in Chicago, in the Chicago suburbs. I was getting mailers weeks in advance, advertising 20% discounts on hundreds of everyday essentials bought at Amazon Fresh. So I think this is the first step in Amazon really starting to link Prime to the in-store opportunity. I think that's going to ramp up a lot over the coming quarters and coming years. So I would say this is the first big foray into grocery and CPG as maybe a centerpiece of Prime Day.
Yeah, and both with in-store and with like selling those Fire Sticks, those Fire TVs, you can really see where the ad sales are also sort of coming into this cyclone of Amazon's powerhouse.
Yeah, it's right. All these pieces link for them with using the TV as a conduit for their advertising through Prime Video, which is going to be powered by the data from in-store grocery sales and drives more purchase of groceries through Amazon. It's really amazing, the apparatus that they're building.
Absolutely. This is exactly why I got advertised a $1,200 swimming pool cleaning robot on Prime Day, because they know me so well. Just kidding. I share a Prime account, so that is why. The last thing I wanted to touch on is we talked about Walmart's recent event in last week's episode. If you haven't heard that one, give it a listen. It's good. How are other retailers' events comparing to Prime Day? Are they comparing to Prime Day?
I mean, to some extent, they all kind of look the same and sound the same. Walmart differentiated this year. I think we'll talk about that a bit more in the back half, so I'll leave that for now. Everyone else kind of got into the act, and they should, because Amazon created this new tentpole. Consumers respond to it. When you have the whole industry coordinating around promotions at the same time and consumers responding to it, it is it's sort of a virtuous cycle that makes the event bigger. And as I just alluded to, right, Target got my overflow. I went to Amazon, but Amazon didn't have what I had. So I knew that the other retailers were promoting. I went straight to Target, had what I needed. I bought it from them. So they get, as you know, almost as big a boost, I think, percentage wise, as Amazon does every year during this day.
Cool. Well, we've discussed whether or not Prime Day is still relevant. It is. And we talked through some of the most important Prime Day categories. I want to discuss the event more in depth from a consumer perspective. But first, here is a quick message from our sponsor, Sky. Sky's omni-channel marketing platform connects your data and workflows across all walled garden media. Sky empowers leading brands and agencies with insights they can use, data they can trust, and impact they can measure on the media that matters most. Access data intelligence, make real-time campaign optimizations, manage all digital channels, and understand what's actually working in order to drive growth. Learn more or request a personalized demo at sky.io. That's SKAI.io. Welcome back from the break. Now it's time for pop-up rankings, where we take a look at specific examples and we rank them. This week, Andrew will be ranking the top three reasons consumers may have opted out of Prime Day. Andrew, I'm going to hand it over to you for number one.
Yeah, well, so the first one, I guess I would put under a broader umbrella of anti-consumerism, or maybe even more specifically, anti-Amazon sentiment. Consumers just saying, I don't want to participate in these made-up holidays that are just about consumerism, maybe especially in light of some of the issues that Amazon deals with on labor, the environment, treatment of sellers and small and medium-sized businesses. Amazon actually positions the event now about benefiting them, but many of them are feeling the squeeze increasingly so. So I think there are some consumers who will basically just say, you know what, if I don't need to buy it on Amazon, I'm not going to, and I may opt out of the day or buy it somewhere else from a retailer that I'd rather buy from.
Yeah, this is definitely the one that I can relate the most to. I do not participate in Prime Day. I couldn't give you a firm reason why. I just tend to prefer to buy local when I can, if I can avoid it. I also feel like maybe it has to do with my age, my gender. I see a lot of don't shop on Prime Day sort of Instagram infographics, the best way to disseminate information, as we know. And so I definitely see that. At the same time, I don't know if the data shows that people are abstaining from Prime Day really at all, especially in my age group. So those might be more messaging than they are actual action.
But even on the margins, and I will say I'm not on Instagram, so I'm not seeing that. But, you know, if you see these themes and they're pervasive, it absolutely can sink in and influence people's decisions of whether or not to participate.
Sure. All right. So the first reason we have is this general sense of anti-consumerism. What is the number two reason consumers might be opting out of Prime Day?
So it's just that consumer budgets are shifting in different directions at this moment, specifically in the direction of services and experiences more and more as people kind of return to the world. And I would say specifically travel. This seems like the summer that travel really got off, with a bang in a way that it hasn't in previous years and also kind of earlier. I heard mm-hmm. about a lot more people, myself included, doing June vacations rather than maybe typical of July and August. So I think that could be part of it. And, that could influence how people spend, because if you're going to buy in advance of going on vacation, you know, all the different things that you need, the kind of adjacent retail purchases, you miss that opportunity if you went on vacation during the first half of the summer.
Do you think Amazon is eyeing this at all? Like looking at people who want to spend money on experiences, on travel, and trying to figure out a way that they can get their foot in that door as well?
Long term, yes. I will say from my experience looking at what they were doing on Prime Day, I didn't see a lot of it. So I don't know if they're trying to court those as much as they have. I think the positioning of it, in mid-July really puts it more into kind of the back to school buying occasion as less summer travel. But, I also have to mention as far as discretionary income going other places, well, a lot of inflation going on and sure. In particular gas prices. So, more consumer spend, I think, went in that direction, maybe caused more people to feel like they couldn't spend as freely on something like, as discretionary as Prime Day.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like we talk about experiences like they're these like lofty vacations, but there's also gas prices and food prices for sure. Although, like you said, especially in Chicago, especially in these Amazon Fresh stores, Amazon also wants in on people looking for lower food prices. So we have discretionary spending. We have consumer spend shift to experiences. What is our number three top reason consumers may have shifted away from buying on Prime Day?
So I will say this with the caveat that I'd like to see more evidence and data on what happened specifically, but there is potential that the Walmart Plus event, they called it Walmart Plus Weekend, which was held on June 2nd through 5th. That's an expanded weekend for those doing the math. It's more than 2 days. That event,
my kind of weekend.
Yeah, that event was really intended, I think, to Bigfoot Prime Day. And increase adoption of Walmart Plus, which I think has been slowly and steadily increasing adoption. And the timing of it, I think, was kind of perfect in that the value proposition for Walmart is increasing as an everyday low price retailer. So consumers, as they're, you know, staring down inflation, they may be more inclined to put their money in with Walmart. Might be a good time to join Walmart Plus. And then also one of the big benefits is savings on fuel. Mm-hmm. So if ever there was a time where Walmart could get an advantage in driving those Walmart Plus signups, that timing almost couldn't have been more. I mean, June was really when all of this stuff peaked. We're actually coming off of some of the worst of inflation now over the last few weeks. So to the extent that that worked for Walmart, I think that gives a lot of folks less reason to opt into Prime Day and maybe not join and become a new Prime member, or maybe even churn as an existing Prime member.
Yeah, this is something we talked about last week, how Walmart has like 6 or 7% of the U.S. retail e-commerce share as compared to Amazon's like 30 or 40%. So it definitely isn't close to Amazon in that regard. But with something like gas prices, with something like in-person shopping, it really seems like Walmart has strategies for taking over some of Amazon's consumership.
Yeah, and the right word there is strategy. I think they're putting in place the right strategy. I really liked what they tried here. The question is just how well does it work? Amazon has already built up, you know, a whole industry-wide shopping holiday around Prime Day that everyone's gotten into. Walmart is now starting from scratch with this to try and kind of create their own. Walmart's pretty big. They've got their store as a channel to communicate this and interest people. And obviously they're big advertisers as well. I'd like to see evidence that this really did work for them in a significant way.
Yeah, I mean, in the sake of like name recognition, Prime Day is a holiday I know about. And I've talked about Walmart's event several times and I still can't remember what it was precisely called. So Amazon definitely has the recognition there.
Yeah, I had to look it up before this podcast, Walmart Plus Weekend.
So Andrew did more research for this podcast than I did. That is all we have time for today before Andrew shows me up with more names of specific events. Thank you, Andrew, for talking me through those top three reasons. And thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, listeners, and to John, who's filling in for Victoria this week and editing the podcast. Next week, I'll be back talking TikTok on another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Sky. And you can tune in tomorrow as Marcus brings you another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast.